and now Evangelist David Shannon.
In John the 6th chapter, we have a beautiful story to study here, and at the end of the chapter, there's a question that is asked that so often is asked in today's time, except the problem is, so often it's not asked to the right person. You see, the question that is asked in the very end is, well, Lord, who else will we go to? You know, you wouldn't believe the number of counselors and preachers and good friends that this question has been asked. They look around, and especially, just for example, our teenagers. They look to their home. God has set that up just by their very nature as being their security blanket. And they look to their home, and their home is destroyed in many cases. So then they try to look to their schools, and they go to their school teachers, and they go to their counselors, and their counselors no longer have the standards that men and women once had. And they don't find the security there either. And they go to their peers, whom are their ages, and they don't find it there. The second leading cause of death among our teenagers, second to the automobile accidents, which most of the time are drug and alcohol related, is suicide. You say, now that's amazing. Or maybe you say, well, you might expect it out of young people. Would you believe me if I told you that that is also a high killer among our senior citizens? Did you know that? Among our senior citizens, they're committing suicide. Why? Because, brethren, out of all ages that upon this earth they experience troubles. And if we don't know where to go for our troubles, most think that death is the answer. This morning we need to realize there is somewhere we can go. The Lord answered that question. To whom shall we go? He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Here in the beginning of John the 6th chapter, we see in the first few verses that there has grown to be a huge multitude that is following Jesus Christ. And He is very quick to remind that multitude in the next few days that He is the bread of life. He's the one that sustains life. He's the one that can help us with our problems. We see also that He says to them, unless you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no part in me. You see, yes, Jesus Christ is the answer to the problems. But now notice this and notice it carefully. If you don't eat of my body and drink, I needed that extra hour. If you don't eat of my body and drink of my blood, it says you have no part of me. Yes, Jesus is the answer. But if we do not give ourselves completely to Jesus Christ, we'll have no part of that answer. You see, brethren, I can't just sit on the fence and want just a little bit of Jesus Christ and just a little bit of the answer, but also a little bit of the world and a little bit of my own desire. The answer is Jesus Christ, but I have to be willing to say, yes, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to the point I'm willing to give myself completely to Him. He said this to these people, and these people found that hard to believe. As a matter of fact, they said to Him, now Jesus, this is a hard saying. Now, one thing I need to remember this morning is that that was not a hard saying to comprehend. That was not even a hard saying to communicate. Well, then what did they mean? They said, Jesus, this is a hard saying. Jesus, this is just a little bit more than what I want to give. You see, Jesus, it's hard for me to live the life I want to live and to do what You're saying. Oh, so that's what they meant. It's a hard saying to live the life of self and to live the life of Christ. This morning I must decide, is it really a hard saying? You see, if we are sitting here this morning and we say, oh, that's such a hard saying, I struggle with this and I fail, we might as well admit to ourselves, I'm not ready to give up self And it's hard to live for Christ and for self. Jesus responded to these people, "Does it offend you?" What about us this morning? Does it offend us? You know, the setting here can be applied so easily to today's times. These people, as we pointed out in Bible class, have followed Jesus. These people had come together and they gathered around Jesus. Now let's notice the things they did. They followed and gathered around Jesus. They listened to Jesus' teaching. They fellowshipped, as we use the term today, fellowship when eating. They fellowshipped there in a meal with Jesus. Then the next day, they sought after Him again and they had to search diligently to find Him. They had to all get into ships and go across. And then they even asked Him questions. They didn't just listen, they asked Him questions. And at the end of the story, we see Jesus says, "Really, none of you believe in Me. Really, none of you are willing to give up yourself and follow Me." Brethren, does that not sound very similar to what many today say is Christianity? Do many today say, "Yes, I'm a Christian"? Well, what do you mean about Christian? I don't understand what you mean by Christian. Well, I go to church. I seek after Jesus. I go to church 3 times a week. And I listen. And then we have fellowships together sometime. And then when next Sunday comes, I come together again. Jesus says here to these people, that's not Christianity. Oh, now I need to realize that that is a very important part. All of those things are important parts. Anything that's in Christianity is an important part. But He wants people that are Christ-like. People that every day in their job places are willing to say, before they say something and before they make any kind of decision, they say, "What would Christ do in my shoes?" People that are willing to choose their friends and to say, "Well, what kind of friends did Christ have?" People that are willing to go out and say, "Well, I want to do some good things for the church. What would Christ do for the church?" You see, it's not Christianity in attending. It's Christianity whenever I take on the being of Christ. As a matter of fact, Christ would say, "When you eat of My body and drink of My blood." And He was not speaking of the Lord's Supper here. He says that is Christianity. This morning, does it offend me? Would I rather just be a Christian inside the walls here and then go out and live self through the week and then come together and be a Christian again? He says, "No, I don't want that." And as a matter of fact, He had to state it 2 or 3 times, and finally He stated it so strong because He wanted to weed them out. He wanted to turn away the ones that would not follow Him faithfully. Brethren, I need to realize this morning, I am not doing God a favor by being here. I am not doing God a favor by the things I do. I am doing myself a favor for my love for God. But brethren, we are here to please God, but we're also here to be Christ-like in everything we do. I should want to be here because I want to be Christ-like. I should want to keep a clean mouth because I want to be Christ-like. I should want to do all the things of Christ's nature because I want to be Christ-like. Not because, well, I have to, because I'm a Christian. It takes spiritual maturity grow to that desire. But that should be the desire of all of us, is to grow to that maturity. Here Jesus says to them, "Do you also want to go away?" as He turns to His apostles. You see, His very wording in that allows us to see that probably this was their thoughts. The way He words that, I'm sure that some of them were thinking, "I don't know if I can carry out a commitment that is that strong." And so He gives them the opportunity. What I need to see here is Simon Peter's response. Simon says here, something that I need to remember for the rest of the days of my life. Jesus, Lord, where will we go? You see, there's people that do not know the ways of Christ. And they come into the church and without growing to very much spiritual maturity, they grow discouraged, and maybe some of us become a stumbling block for them, and then they say, well, if I can't find what I'm looking for here, I'll just go somewhere else. Brethren, I need to realize today, and I need to be willing to share with anyone, there is nowhere else to go. The Lord is the only one that can give us our answers. The church is the only place that He says will be the saved, will be the ones that He looks over. Brethren, there is nowhere else to go. When I read in Acts the 4th chapter in verse 12, I read a very important verse that is so simple, but yet we take it for granted sometimes. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Over in Ephesians the 1st chapter in verse 3 we read, blessed be the God of our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Brethren, I can't go anywhere else and find the church. I can't go anywhere else and find salvation. And I can't go anywhere else and find any spiritual blessings. Any spiritual blessings. Brethren, we need the church. There's one thing that I want to point out for us all to notice this morning. If you love the church, you're going to be frustrated sometimes. Any of us that love the church will have our moments of aggravation, of discouragement. Why? Because the church is made up of people. People that love the Lord, but yet people that make mistakes sometimes. But what I need to remember is that same church that sometimes makes mistakes, that some church that sometimes makes me frustrated, is the same church that the Lord set in order, that Jesus Christ died for, that He became the head of, and that Jesus over and over in the Scriptures reminds us, there's nowhere else to go. There's none other. We can read all throughout Ephesians several places where He tells us about the one body and about the saved being in the church. Brethren, this morning, what you and I need to do is to stop even considering any other alternatives and to put all of our efforts into making the church what God wants it to be. You see, if we all could be exactly what God wants us to be, none of us would ever be frustrated with the church because it was designed in a perfect way by a perfect designer. The imperfection comes with you and I. This morning, let's put our efforts on making the church what it should be. Let's stop putting our efforts in frustration. Let's stop putting our efforts in downing anyone. But let's always lift each other up and encourage each other and build the church to what Christ designed it to be. And let's tell people, here's where you can come to solve your problems. Here's where you can come. We're the hospital for sinners, not just the pews for the saints. Brethren, this morning, where else can we go? You know, we can look at different scriptures in the passage in the Bible, and we can look where Jesus healed the woman who had the issue of blood, and there's something that stands out there. It says that she's had this problem for 12 years. 12 years, and it says she spent her living on physicians. And finally there was nowhere else to go, and she went and she touched the hem of the garment of Jesus Christ, and she found her answer. We see two or three times in the New Testament where men that had leprosy. Leprosy was something that could not be cured. It was something where the men and the women would have to go and live in an isolated, designated area outside of the city because there was no answer for them. they would begin to, their flesh would rot, their muscles would rot off, their bones would begin to fall off. A terrible situation. They had no answer. Finally, a few of them came to Jesus. There was nowhere else to go. No other physician could heal. Brethren, today there's broken lives. There's broken marriages. There's heartaches. There's sorrows. There's minor disappointments and there's major problems. And what I need to remember today is there's nowhere else to go but to Jesus Christ. How is your relationship with Jesus this morning? Are you in a relationship so that you can take your problems to Jesus and cast your burdens upon Him? Or are you in a situation where first you must let Him know that you even love Him? If you're not obeying Him, His definition of love in the Bible is following His commandments. Are you His child? Have you ever given your life to Him? If not, this morning is the time. If you believe that He's the Son of God, if you believe upon the Word of God, if you're willing to turn away from sin in your life and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be baptized to wash those sins away. If you've done that, but yet you have fallen back into the ways of self, it's so easy for us to do, brethren. It's so easy to allow self to take over and allow Christ to take second or third place. This morning, through the teachings in John, Jesus makes it very clear. I don't want you to follow Me if you're going to try to follow self and Jesus. He says He wants a complete commitment.